This morning, we're going to go into the Old Testament, and we're going to look at some of the verses in there. Our first two readings, the first one's in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. Second Samuel, chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. Samuel writes, "Now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, declares, the anointed of God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men righteously, who rules in fear of God, is as the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, when the tender grass springs out of the earth, through the sunshine after the rain. Truly is not my house so with God? For he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and secured for all my salvation and all my desire. Will he not indeed make it grow?" Our second reading in the Old Testament is found in Psalms. It is the 132nd Psalm. We're in verse 11. We're going to read one verse here out of the 132nd Psalm. And the 11th verse reads, "The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne." That is a prophecy of the coming Lord Jesus. Our next reading we find in the New Testament, and it's in the Gospel of John, in the 18th chapter. Excuse me, I seem to have a frog in my throat this morning. John, in the 18th chapter. And we'll be looking at the 33rd through 38th verse in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. "Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And Jesus answered, 'Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?' And Pilate answered, 'I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and your chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.' Therefore, Pilate said to him, 'So, you are a king?' And Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" Our final reading in the New Testament is found in Revelation, in the 19th chapter. The book of Revelation in the 19th chapter, starting in the 11th through 16th verse. This is John speaking. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, we know that you hold in your hand all time. You created time that we might exist in this realm. And here we are finding ourselves in the last Sunday of the year 2019, looking forward to what is about to happen in 2020. So, Father, I ask that each heart would be open up to what your word has spoken, and that we would understand that your Son is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. May glory and honor be upon him this morning. When Christ returns to this earth, he will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In 2 Samuel, we read of King David's prophesying that God will bring forth a king from his line to sit on his throne. In the 132nd Psalm, the Lord swears with an oath to King David, of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. In chapter 18 of the Gospel of John, Pilate asked Jesus, are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate says then, you are a king? Jesus says, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And finally, in the book of Revelation, in the 19th chapter, starting in that 11th verse, we see the second coming of Christ, the Son of the living God, proclaimed as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will subdue the nations with a sword that comes from his mouth. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. Well, here we are, the last Sunday, as I've said before, in 2019. 2020 is a mere 2 days away. Where are we spiritually speaking? You ever thought about that? We're here at the end of the year. What has happened throughout this whole year? So spiritually, where are you today? And then I also broaden that question out into our world spiritually. Where is our world? Is it pretty? I wonder, is it pretty? It doesn't look pretty, especially if you keep your eyes on the news. Okay? You got to look for those nuggets of beauty that are out in the world. Speaking of America, it seems we have never been more divided than during the Civil War. There seems to be two camps, progressive liberals and conservatives. What saddens me most is that the far left and the far right have stopped talking to each other. With this animosity towards each other, we now see the loss of family cohesion, friendships, in congregations, workplaces, and in the general public sphere. People are angry. They're mad at each other. Just because you believe a certain thing? Talk about craziness. We're supposed to be living in America, the freest nation in the world, and you can't at least speak your mind? We have the freedom of speech. Now, some people may say things that are really terrible, but we should say, that is a terrible thing you said. But at least allow them to say it and then correct them on it. I think that is true freedom. And again, I say what is most alarming is that people who were lifelong friends are now dissolving those friendships because of political ideologies that they say cannot coexist. What is the answer? What is the answer? How can we overcome this extraordinary chasm that has opened up in our culture? The only answer I can come to is Jesus Christ. And what he taught us to do, and that is namely love God, love others, and go. If Jesus is truly our Lord and Savior, are we not under his sovereign rule as Christians? His kingdom truly came not only at his birth, which we just celebrated, but was completely solidified at his resurrection. And when he truly defeated the kingdom of Satan in this world, I want you to remember that Jesus won the war, but there are still battles going on. Skirmishes going on for the souls of men and women, just like us. Jesus told his disciples and us in the Gospel of John, in the 16th chapter, in the 33rd verse, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." In those couple of verses, we can take courage because Christ has overcome this world. He's overcome all the turmoil that we see in our lives. He has overcome it. And he has given us the recipe. Love. Love. True love. Not the type of love that the world talks about. I'm talking about agape love. The type of love that God has for us. When that shines through our hearts and through our souls and out of our bodies into other people's lives, we can truly be agents of effective change. I need to take you to a dark place because that's what our world is. Let us look a little more closely at what the world looks like. What does it contain? If you follow the news and you look around, we see a majority of what's going on as sin and death. People performing horrendous acts of violence against each other. Mothers and fathers abusing their children. Children murdering their mothers and fathers and family members. Complete strangers walking in off the street and killing Christians in their churches here in America. People walking into the places such as Walmart and just shooting people for no reason. They don't even know them. They just kill them. Why? Why, you ask? Religious ideologies all over the world murdering Christians and burning down their houses of worship. Why? Why? It's a horrendous sight. Allow me to go on. Drug dealers peddling their wares, people becoming addicted to substances that were never intended to be put in their bodies, human trafficking, young women and girls and sometimes little boys being sold by the highest dollar to depraved individuals for their twisted enjoyment. When I wrote these words down for that sermon, my little grandson was downstairs in the living room. Just a little 8-month-old boy, baby boy, doing what baby boys do, crawling around, getting into the Christmas tree ornaments, messing up the nativity scene under the Christmas tree. Good things. And I think of all those poor children, those people that are being abused, and my heart breaks, as your heart should break. The carnage seems to be escalating at an ever-increasing rate. Moral depravity is on the rise. Have you ever wondered why? Why these terrible things are happening? There's probably many reasons, and I jotted a few down here. As I say, there are many reasons for this moral nosedive into hell. One of the main reasons, I believe, can be laid at the feet of the liberal denominational churches. Think about it. Back in the 70s, the big theological debate was to strip Christ of his divinity. There was a real distaste in addressing him as Lord Jesus. Liberal colleges teach there is no absolute truth. Truth is what you decide it is. The breakdown of the Christian family, where a father and a mother loving each other raise their children in an atmosphere where God is honored, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is probably many other reasons why. Why all this is occurring in our world? Satan is running around, deceiving people, getting them to do his bidding. And a majority of them don't even realize it. Think about it. To some people, Lord and King is a distasteful description. Rather, let's present Jesus as a teacher, a healer, a rabbi, a sage, a spiritual leader, and the ultimate moral exemplar. Now, all these descriptions of Jesus are actually true, but if you remove Lord of Lords and King of Kings, you have to do away with quite a bit of scriptural description of who Jesus actually is and will be and is right now. He is sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven. Making mention of us to his Father. I want you to think of all the times in your Christian life that you needed help. You needed that, just that little bit of, that little spark to get through the day. To maybe talk to somebody. To tell them of the love of Jesus. And it was there. Somehow, that little spark of energy was inside of you, and you could go on just a few more steps. King David was given the solemn promise that a descendant of his line would sit upon his throne and rule forever and ever, and that person is Jesus Christ, and he is coming back again. I find it interesting that we as human beings, and it matters not, male or female, we tend to look around at other people's messes and say they need to get their act together, while we disregard our own messes. It says in the scriptures that if we follow our own inclinations, we generally choose poorly. So with that being said, If a human being says in his heart that there is no God, he now declares himself to be God of his own life. And as we too often see, the downward spiral begins. I do not wish to leave you in a state of utter despair. Because what is transpiring around us? It seems that mostly what the news agency focused on, the depravity, the unhappiness, it's always there. But there are many good people living amongst us who have caring hearts. One such story is of a young couple I know. And they're a young couple. The husband just turned 30. I was over to see his birthday party yesterday. Him and his wife have a four-year-old daughter, cute as a button, bad as a stinker. That's how four-year-old girls are. Think she knows everything. But that's okay. She'll grow up. But this couple have taken into their home a three-month-old baby whose mother was addicted to heroin when she gave birth to him. So now this poor child has a heroin addiction. And he shudders. And he quakes. And he cries. And they're petitioning to adopt this little boy. Now there's one of the bright things in our world. A husband and wife with a little daughter willing to take into their home a little boy that desperately, people, I want to tell you, desperately needs a loving home. I don't know anything about the birth mother. All I know is she chose poorly. And now her son is in dire straits. But the good thing is there's people who step up and are willing to love. The light shall overcome the darkness. Darkness has to flee when a light enters in. And the only light that we have for this dark world is the light given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is He Lord of Lords in your life? Is He the King of Kings? We come to the only real question we have for this new year. Who would you rather have rule over this world of sin and death? I say that again. Who would you rather have rule over this world of sin and death? Yourself? How about a government that acknowledges no higher authority than itself? That's what could be coming. An educational system that teaches that there's no ultimate truth, and that the truth for each individual is what they make of it. That's what our educational system says. There is no truth. You get to pick the truth you want. I put the choice to you. When you get to pick the truth that you want to live out of your own mind, how often do we pick the wrong truth? That poor mother that gave birth to that child, her truth at that time was heroin. Is that a truth that we can live with? How about a culture that affirms that you can do whatever you like, no matter what it does to the person right next to you, as long as you have the authority and power to get away with it? Now, there's a truth we can hang our hat on. Now, I know I'm stepping on toes out there on the internet. I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. You can whitewash the truth all you want. You can put on your little blinders, okay? But the truth is out there in our streets and our neighborhoods. People are dying. And if you are a Christian, and I mean a true Christian, a blood-washed, Spirit-filled Christian, Christ said it's your duty to make a difference out in this world. This nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, the Ten Commandments. And there's people out there telling us, well, you can't have that in the public sphere. Okay, can't have that in the public sphere? Then crazies are running around with guns and shooting up people in Walmart. Did you ever think that one day you may walk into Walmart and someone may do something that horrendous? Are you ready? Are you ready for that moment when you might have to speak a truth into reality? Stop in the name of Jesus Christ. Whom do we want to rule us? The answer to that question, which has eternal consequences, is often cast aside. I choose not to answer the question, and in doing so, I've made no decision, and you cannot hold me responsible for something I didn't decide. Have you ever heard a thought like that? They say, no decisions? I didn't make a decision. You can't hold me responsible. But in reality, no decision is a decision. You have decided not to address it. And by not choosing Christ as your King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you abdicate the authority of your life to yourself and thereby choose a path that you will be held accountable to. Doesn't matter what the culture says. Doesn't matter what the scientists say, the colleges, politicians, even some pastors out there. Doesn't matter what they say. What do you say? Because one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ at his throne and be judged. And he's going to say, who did you say I was? For us Christians, our answer is, you are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And our Savior will say, welcome, come in to the rest I have prepared for you. But can you imagine some of these obstinate people that say there is no God? I can just imagine standing there in that heavenly realm, steps leading up to the throne. It's pearly white. The person sitting on it is there's a rainbow around about him. The glory is shining out. And he says to that human being, who, by the way, will be standing there completely naked, there'll be nothing to hide them from that face. Who did you say I was? I must be having some kind of I can imagine them saying this. I must be having some kind of drug-induced delusion here, because I always said you didn't exist. Can you imagine that? The audacity? There's probably going to be people saying that. And as his glory shines even further and strips away the pretentiousness in them, and the truth is revealed, they're going to drop to their knees crying, I made a mistake. I didn't listen to that person who was trying to tell me about Jesus. I called him an idiot. I called him foolish. I called him a person who didn't understand as well as I did. And then the awful words will come down, away from me into eternal torment. I never knew you.
this sermon for the last Sunday of the year. I've listened to other sermons, other pastors. They're going, oh yeah, the year's over. All the stuff's behind us. Hey, we're looking forward to a new year. Everything's going to be great. Everything's great. Oh, this is wonderful. Yay. I want to say yay. You know why? Because we have another year. Maybe. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is coming back. He may come back on January 2nd. When all those people went to all those parties and drank all that alcohol and got up January 2nd with a huge hangover. And the Lord came back. It could be the middle of the year. But I want you to think, even though I've shared these dark realities with you of our world, that we have the light. We have the light of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit gives us the power. Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we are His servants. There is nothing that we cannot overcome. Excuse me. Because Christ said, I have overcome the world. And He lives in us. I remember one of the cartoons that my kids used to watch, He-Man. If you remember that. No. That's a pretty old cartoon. Not as old as some of the cartoons I watched when I was a kid. But, you know, my 33-year-old daughter, who's 33 now, she used to watch He-Man. You know what I mean? And he used to say in the cartoon, I have the power! And I think of that now. He pulled a sword out, you know what I mean? He pulled a sword out and he's yelling, I have the power. I want to do that. Here's my sword, the word of God. I have the power! Because Jesus Christ died for me. He loved me so much that He gave me, a sinner, the opportunity to serve Him. The opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The opportunity to make a difference in this world. Brothers and sisters, both here and out on the internet, you can make a difference in this world. You truly can. If you look back through history, most of the people that had profound good changes for this world were Christians. There was a man in England who spent 7 years of his life petitioning the British government to outlaw slavery. For 7 years, he was a very sick man, but he never gave up. He was a Christian. I mean, he was sick. There was days he couldn't get out of bed. But there's days that he went on into Parliament and he brought up the petition. We need to stop slavery. He didn't give up for 7 years. And if I remember correctly, just after they passed the vote to abolish slavery, he passed away. I am telling you, that was a big thing, okay? That impacted the world. But I am telling you, each one of you, as Christians, if you make the difference in one person's life, you have changed the world. You have changed the world. That's what we're going to do this year. 2020. We're going to change the world. As Christians, not only in this congregation in the Heart of Christ Church, but I'm telling you people out in the internet, we're going to change the world this year. One person at a time. One person at a time. And all you have to do is look for that one person. There's hurting people all around us, all the time. You can be Christ for them. you have the power. Our blessed hope in this age is that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, will come one day, return to this realm and institute truth and justice, thereby taking upon His shoulders the perfect government we so desperately need on this planet. The kingdom is already here. It resides in the hearts and lives of born-again Christians who are ushering in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. May honor and glory be given to Him now and forever. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.